Peter chapter 3. And we're going to go over a topic today, something that's called apologetics. Have you ever heard of apologetics? Right? Apologetics 101, not 101, 10 as in only, one and only one. That's what has to be recognized today. That's all we're going to get across. The one and only one component of apologetics that you need. From there, you could build it upon any subject matter that you may encounter the need to defend. Because apologetics, you maybe hear it the first time or see it written, you think it's, gee, I got to give an apology. That's not what it's about. Apologetics means defense. How to give a defense is what it is. Okay? That's what the word means. So it's in 1 Peter 3. We'll read verses 13 to 18, and you'll see the what's considered the charter verse on this topic. 1 Peter 3, and it's throughout the scriptures at how God deals with questions and challenges. He answers them, not always in ways that we may want him to, but he answers them. And it's always scriptural. How do you know that? Because it's always in the scriptures. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. Every answer of God is in the scriptures. First Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Look what he says here. Now, look at this context before and after. The charter verse is verse 15. But look, watch how this moves. Who is he that will harm you? Now, that's what Paul is asking in Romans 8 when somebody's questioning, does God still love me? Does I'm going through this. And he's saying, who? Who is he? See? You know, who is, you know that song, who? You know? And so he's saying, who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. So contrary is our concept of suffering that we seldom associate it with being happy. It's as though God is entrusting us with two things in this message of Apologetics 101. One and only one. And it'll bring happiness, either one of them. And be not afraid of their terror. See that? Neither be troubled. Now, this is a citation from Isaiah chapter 8. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. So much the world would have you be afraid of. You know, there's so much that can get in your mind and cause trouble and, you know, intrepidation and, you know, peer pressure and not being liked and not having an answer or losing this or this may happen or that may happen. And they're talking, all these things, they're accusations. And they find their source in the devil, whether a person that is being used to create that thought in your mind or not is beside the point. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the Bible says in Isaiah, he says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. So look what he said. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror. Who should we fear? God. Neither be troubled. But he says in verse 15, now this is the verse right here. But sanctify the Lord God, where? It's got to go deeper than your mind. And that's very important that's apologetics, one and only one. That's it right there. We build upon that. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It's trying to answer a question, trying to understand something that's challenging, you know, what you believe, your faith. But you have to have this right here as the prerequisite. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, the fear isn't the fear of man. It's the fear of God. But it's meekness. Knowing who you are. Fear. Knowing who he is. Having a good conscience, that's the target. See, it's not an intellectual debate. You know, apologetics is not, it involves thought sometimes, deep thought, but it's not academic by its nature. It's heart. Amen? And its aim is conscience, always conscience. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you, you know, the righteous are as bold as a lion. You can look at people in their eye if your conscience is clean. They can't with you. As of evildoers, they may be what? Ashamed. That even if you're not accusing them, they're running. The evil people, the Bible says, they run when no man pursueth. What are they running from? Their conscience. They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's better. It's happy. We don't associate that with suffering. But that's the context that you find apologetics 101. Not zero. Oh, as in only. One and only one. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us where? To God. This is where apologetics 1-0, not zero, O is an only, one and only one. This is where it's intended to bring you. If you can be ready to fight, amen? You got to be ready to fight because it's a fight. And you got to be ready to win because you've already won. And what God wants to do is open your eyes to this. Then you could go into any type of environment with questions that may be addressed to you, and you don't have to have the answers at that time because you've already won. Amen? You go back and find the answer later, and then you could deal with it again. That's how God teaches you, and you grow. And so that's how you become not just, you're not just a conqueror, you already won. You're more than a conqueror. You build upon something that's already victorious. He already won. You fall, he already won. You go right back again. See? And so he says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's the chart of verses, verse 15 of Apologetics 101. Again, not zero, but O as in only. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give the answer, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's important to get this. All right? So the objective is to encourage, to get deeper into the book and be drawn closer to Jesus Christ, to God in the process, to become more secure in our faith and in our relationship with him. It brings better fellowship. When you think of apologist, when you think of being ready to answer, it involves thought, you know, deeper than mind to heart. But with that comes reasons, hope, you know, conscience, suffering, Christ. These are words in the context of what we're reading. Amen? And you're trying to get a deeper meaning and a deeper understanding of something that you're being challenged with. And it's no different today than it was during the generation of Simon Peter when he first penned this. Today's generation of what? LBQT, XYZ, whatever else? Amen? They're as confused as ever. And maybe even more so. And they need to see something that we have in an answer we give that we should recognize belongs to us. An immovable, immutable, impossible anchor of faith that you and I have. Amen? Jesus Christ said, you know, I'm going to tell you things before they come to pass, that when they do, you'll know that I'm he. You'll know that I'm he. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 18, Jesus Christ says, how think ye? He's concerned on how we think. So we're challenged with all kinds of things in this world today that are known as apologetics, as far as defending our faith with these challenges that question, what do you think about this? Or how could you believe this? Or I don't agree with the Bible about this, and I don't go to church anymore because of this. And they give reasons, asking us questions to answer those reasons with our reasons from a biblical perspective. And the Bible, you need to understand, it's a credible book. And people think Christian faith is not blind. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Our hope is based on evidence, on the substance of things not seen. Things I can't see, I have substance of what I can see. I can validate certain things, the credibility, the viability, the accuracy, the historical truth of things that the Bible talks about. I get it. There's questions people have today. There's challenges. There's criticism and perspectives and debates and discussions. And that's all fine and dandy. People have a right to, to their own opinion. And so are we, and so is God. The only difference is that God's opinion is always right. Amen? Our point is to get in line with his. Amen? That's the point. And what's amazing about this book is it doesn't need to be updated. We're always catching up to the Bible, making discoveries. That's what he is talking about when every eye shall see him. How are you going to see people getting their heads cut off in Jerusalem? He writes about Revelation chapter 11. How are you going to, when John wrote that, how in the world are you going to see, how are people around the world going to see two people get their heads cut off? Until around 19-something A.D., when the television came into, but every person, until 2000-something A.D., when the cell phone came into being. Amen? Snap, 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 snap. Amen? Well, obviously that's what he was talking about. Oh, yeah? People used to laugh and mock Christians. We're just catching up to the Bible. It's amazing how the Bible is always ahead of generational challenges that bring questions to the Christian faith. And we're stronger because, I'll be honest with you, I'm stronger with my faith because of the questions and challenges that apologists require me to answer. I mean, I understand gender more than I ever did 5 years ago. Why? Because it's put on the forefront today. Amen? Well, you have to answer gender and the motherhood of God, right? You begin to recognize. I understand the mark of the beast, the number 666, now more than I did even 10 years ago. I mean, I was locked into the universal parcel code. That's it, man. But we keep going on and on and on. And we're seeing there's a digital currency that's, you know, getting ready to be, you know, dumped on us when the bank shut down. Amen, Brother John. It's only a matter of time. So we as human beings, we're social beings. We need to communicate. We're intended to communicate. And you'll see the means of communication has progressed and evolved throughout time. God wants us to discover, and the quest to discover in Proverbs chapter 25, the Bible talks about it's an honor to search out, you know, kings and to, you know, figure things out. That's part of the mandate God gave Adam and Eve, but they fell. And the major quest to discover is it's bringing us back to purpose. You know, what's our meaning? Because they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. It used to be communication, open dialogue with God. In the Garden of Eden, no big deal. And they had conscience that didn't bring conviction, but now it does. And instead of running from that, we have to face up to that. And communication involved words and books. And at times, people would settle down. There was a town square. I mean, you go to any one of these towns in New England, and you'll see the center of the town. There's usually a big church. People would go there. There's a green that's right there. They would talk. They would get together. They worked all week, and they would talk about things going on. The Bible talks about it as the gates of the city. And people would communicate and, you know, discourse, and you could find out the concept that was floating through the minds of a society in a certain area at a certain time through their art, through their music, through their books. And then you have telegrams and Morse code and newspapers and magazines and advertisements, and then the radio comes into being, and you know, you got phones and the television and computers and cellular, right? I mean, cellular. And then you got FaceTime and Snapchat and interactive artificial intelligence where you can actually talk to a robot or an invisible being called Siri. Is that her name? Whatever it is. Or GPS. I mean, it used to be maps. Ain't maps no more, man. Now it's GPS. Amen? And you want the talking GPS. It's not good enough. You got to get the talking one or you still get lost. Hey, at least I do. And you got X and you got Twitter and you got Facebook and you got talk radio and you got... We're meant to talk and communicate and share ideas. But the intention of God is to find out great things that he's done. To let the world, though, publish all the greatness of God. Fallen man doesn't have that. But we do. We're not fallen anymore. And in Christ, amen? And you've got... You know, all these accessible means of communication worldwide, topped off in Daniel 12, says technology. You know, knowledge shall, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. We've moved a far away from the Garden of Eden. The town square today is just right here. Amen? the town square. Mine's a town rectangle. The same thing. Amen. This is where we are today. Apologetics 101. Sanctify the Lord. This is where it begins. This is where you have to lock in. This is 101. This is where you can't get away from. He says in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This is the prerequisite. You know, you know, I can't talk to people. I can't debate. You get into these real smart people or these folks that are really well-versed in their particular subject matter, because that's mostly what it is. Everybody has a trade or a knowledge of something they're focused on, but not everything. You've got a book that talks about everything. You can give an answer to every man, and that's an amazing book. Amen? But with this in mind, and never forget this, this is our task. Amen? For us to be ready to fight and to win. And this is what this has to come to. If you don't understand this, you could get into a situation where you push the panic button. You know, there's a Kansas City woman that was arrested, you know, not long ago because she tried to kill a spider. Why would they arrest you for trying to kill a spider? 34-year-old Ginny Griffith in Hutchinson. She set a pile of towels on fire at 1:30 in the morning in her house. Why? Because she saw a spider. She panicked. The building didn't burn down or nothing. It was a big deal. She was charged with aggravated arson. So what is it supposed to do? A spider. See, we could panic. What am I supposed to do? You know, they've got this question, and it freaks me out. It's got all these legs and these eyes and these hairs, and they're talking to me. What am I supposed to do? They panic. Always be ready. This is what he says. In verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always. Look at this in Romans 8:37. So this is our task. Be ready to fight, to win. This is the mindset. When you sanctify the Lord God in your heart, you won. You won because he won. One and only one. You won. One and only one. Apologetics 101. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Romans 8:37. Great verse. I've always loved this verse. Think about what he's saying. Romans 8. See in verse 33, who? Sure, there's that who. You know, who are you? You know, who? He says, who shall lay anything to the charge? Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Verse 35, who shall separate us? Somebody's trying to mess up your mind, getting you to doubt. You don't have to know the answers. You just have to know the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ, and who he is applicable to any challenge that's brought to you, to your doorstep as a question that you're asked to answer. You may not have it at that point in time, but it's right here in the book. Amen? So he says in verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Before you can enjoy the spoils of war, you must first triumph in the fight of war. The Bible just says we're conquerors. We're more than conquerors. More than conquerors, you know, follows being a conqueror. You're more than conquerors. The spoils are for us to discover. The answers that follow the answer is what we need to discover. That's apologetics 101. I know the answer, so every answer that follows that is always going to bring me back right here. Be ready to fight and to win. What do we have to do? We have to understand the scriptures. This is what he's saying. This is what we need to get hold. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. One and only one. The only wise God. The only begotten Son. Who can forgive sins but God only? Forgiven. Who said that? Jesus. We have to see Jesus in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 4. So when Jesus is challenged with a question, chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, then Jesus said saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. When he speaks to the devil and he answers challenges brought to him, what does he use? The scriptures. This is the hope that is set before us. It's based on the scriptures. You know, Jude tells us in Jude 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's apologetics 101, brethren. Be ready to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Guess what? You already won. We know what the answer is. We know what the answer is who the answer is. It's Jesus Christ. So any question or challenge that's brought our way, it's one and only one. It's built upon who Christ is in any field of, you know, of science, any field of, you know, questioning, any challenge that's brought to us. It's always the same thing. It has to find its source in Jesus Christ. He's the beginning and the end. And so when we overcome, the Bible says, I want you to be overcomers. We're already overcomers. To discover this is wonderful. He tells us this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Jesus said, you overcome because I overcame. We are winners because he won. And now he says, get in the fight. Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. That's it. Where does it say turn? 1 John 5:5. That's it right there, brother. Apologetics 101. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. This is the prerequisite. Be ready to fight. Be ready to win. Be ready to win. See Jesus Christ in the scriptures. That's number one. There's only one other point. It's see Jesus Christ in suffering. But apologetics, there's questions coming here. You've got to see Jesus Christ. And you got to understand this in 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our what? Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? This is, be ready, you know. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You approach a question or a challenge knowing this. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the answer. You don't have to have the answer that person wants. You know the answer. But he'll give you an answer that person wants. You can't lose sight of that right there, that foundational basis that anchors your soul to the security of truth, the immutability of God's word. He cannot lie. You've got it right in front of you, the book. That's so sad to me that, you know, parents raise their kids, they send them off to college, and in 3 months they come back for Christmas dinner and they're questioning the Bible. You know, they're questioning creation. Well, my professor said we came from nothing. And we're going nowhere. And what's your purpose then? Just a nobody. No purpose. You came from nothing, you're going nowhere? Man, it's ridiculous. It's absurd, if you ask me. It's, you know, you got to be careful of getting caught in apologetics where it becomes an argument. It becomes variance. It's one of the works of the flesh is variance, to vary, to fight an argument, to try to win a debate, you know, an argument, a logical illustration, you know, that you can drive something home. Hey, you win people to what you win them with. Right here. You have to bring them to the scriptures. That doesn't mean you can't show rational reasoning why, you know, creation is scientific and not anti-scientific. Because life only comes from life. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, show me something that comes alive out of something that doesn't have life. Every cell comes from another living cell. I can show that. I can demonstrate that. I'm not really smart, but I can show pictures of my dad, my grandpa, and my great-grandpa, if I ask my dad where the pictures are. But if you follow down to great-great-grandpa, great-great-great-great-grandpa, and it's like, you, show pictures of people always giving birth to people. Just show me one picture of a person being born from an ape. Does not exist. Doesn't exist. Yeah, but we were here 30 million years ago, you know, 14 billion years ago, according to our dating. It's like, hello? Does anybody know anybody that knows anybody that can prove we were here or anything was here 14 billion years ago? No, you can't. It's called faith. There's only two faiths. Your faith is either believing the Word of God is the Word of God or not believing the Word of God is the Word of God. It's called unbelief. Put any religious name you want to it, any philosophy you want to it, any ideology you want to it. See, I know the answer. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? Every answer that follows that has to be built upon that truth. The Bible says man is at enmity with God. We're enemies of God when you're lost. And what God gives us, look at in Hebrews chapter number 6. He's the living God. He's steadfast. The Bible's an amazing book because it transcends the arguments of time. Cultural, generational, I mean, tradition, doesn't matter. What are the issues of today that you want to argue about or me to give an answer? What do you think about women preachers? How about makeup on women, or how long should their hair be? You know, do they have to wear dresses? What about pants on women? That's not what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about, women not wearing pants. And putting on, he doesn't say that. He says women not wearing men's. He's talking about cross-dressing. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about exactly what you see going on today. Gender confusion. What about marriage? What about marriage? Male and female created he them. They twain shall be one flesh. That's my answer. But today we're so much smarter. We are. I don't think we're getting smarter, brother. I think people are getting stupider and stupider and stupider. I mean, what about Israel? What about suffering? What about meatless meat? I'd say you're a meathead. I mean, I don't know what to say, man. Climate change. I call it weather. You read about it in Genesis chapter, 1, 2. Amen. What about digital currency? What about it? Cashless society? What about aliens? What about hell and evolution? You see, the saying is it's easier to believe a lie that one has heard 1,000 times than to believe a fact that you've never heard. People are being taught this from youth now. It's our job and to be a voice for Jesus Christ, to be a light for Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's our role in outreaching to a world that's lost and confused, and they really are. What about abortions? What about errors in the Bible? Final authority. What about the cancel culture and Christianity versus science? You mean false science? What about the Judeo-Christian roots of America and the history? I don't believe that. Well, I do. What about a distorted view of history? And what about dinosaurs? I saw that movie. See, these are all current events, and you could take any one of them and deal with the apologetics, the defense of our faith for any one of those. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is apologetics 101, not zero only. It has to be built upon Jesus Christ. At the very heart of it, he tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. That's what we can never forget. Amen. And so this is the answer we always need to give. Jesus Christ gives an answer. And then the Bible says to God says, come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. See, reasoning it wrong. Some parents get upset when their kids grow up and they don't question what they were taught. Well, don't you want your kids to be adults? Don't you want them to know themselves that what they're taught was? There's people, you'll come to church, maybe you're hearing things that you've never heard before because you're being taught Bible. Maybe, in some ways, the first time in your lives. Amen. It's Bible. Well, the Bible says examine yourselves whether you be reprobate, whether you're in the faith or not. This is the Bible. Just prove all things, hold fast that which is good. There's none good but one. That is God. Well, what's necessarily wrong for a child growing up into adulthood, and they have to prove themselves that the Bible is the Word of God, that it doesn't have mistakes, that it has the answers always based on Jesus Christ being the answer. You have to see him. Search this. I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Amen. Hold fast that which is good. And he proved he was God by the resurrection of the dead. The Bible says, by many infallible proofs, disprove, unprove the scriptures that he used to through the resurrection to prove that he is God. Amen. You can't disprove it. History testifies of Jesus Christ. History testifies he had a following. History testifies they were apostles. He was crucified. He was buried. His tomb is empty. History testifies of that. You determine if the Bible's true when it says he's not in his tomb because he rose again. Because his disciples all said that. The disciples that ran away. His brothers that denied him, wanted nothing to do with him, became disciples themselves that died for the faith. How do you answer that when 400 or 500 people at one time testify having seen Jesus Christ? We have credible evidence, viable, substantial proof of the historicity of the scriptures. You determine if you believe it or not. Amen? But I want you to understand this. I said turn somewhere, right? Or he didn't. What? Hebrews 6. See what he says right here? Now, God, he promises Abraham something. Verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham, so he promised, I'll give you my word, Abraham. I give you my word. You know, you're going to have a son. You're going to inherit the land. I give you my word. Saying he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. So I'm going to promise you this, and then to prove that my promise is true, see, what else can I give you? I just gave you my word to prove it. So what, if you swear by two immutable things, what I'm going to do is I'm going to swear by myself. There's nothing else greater that God can give us than his word. Except now when I swear by myself, I want you to understand that it's alive. It's not just in writing. I'm actually talking to you. He that is of God heareth God's words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not just reading it. You're hearing it. God is talking to you. That's the proof I'll give you. Amen? I mean, this is just God showing us this. And he shows us all these things going on in the world right now. And prophecy tells us that the world's going to hell, and we know aliens are coming, and climate's going to be, you know, questionable, be, you know, to bring people into oppression. We see all this stuff coming, and we know the temple's going to be rebuilt, and marriage is going to be challenged and redefined, and there's going to be some sort of a tracking system, and there's not going to be borders, not just in Texas, but across Europe and across the world, because we're heading towards a one-world government. We got it. We understand the debauchery of Sodom and Gomorrah, not just homosexuality, but going after strange flesh. I get it. I understand that's where we're heading. But he says, I'll tell you what, Abraham, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. You have a written book, that's his word, and you have a written book that speaks to you from that same word. It's immutable. It's his word. It's alive. Peter calls it a lively hope. Amen? And people always asking different kinds of questions. And a lot of times they end up, you know, defeat. It's circular reasoning. A lot of times you've got, they talk about snakes. And if you have a certain kind of snakes, you frighten them. You corner them. They got nowhere to go. They'll turn around and bite themselves. Kill themselves in the process. That's what a lot of people do. I mean, everybody, evolution's a nonsense joke. You didn't come from nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. It just doesn't exist. You know, life has to come from life. There's no evidence contrary to that. And you realize that, you know, what's the big deal if we're all just, if I'm just a bunch of nothing? Let's just say up here, sitting up here right now, is 175 pound plus nothing. You know, in this body. Yeah. Plus! We'll just say plus, then I don't have to lie. But I'm just nothing. And there's another 175 pound nothing, plus nothing somewhere else. And I just happened to shoot that 100 pound plus, 175 pound plus, nothing. What, a bunch of holes in that. What's the big deal? It's just nothing. I'm just nothing. What's the big deal? They know there's a big deal. They certainly bite themselves. Because that was wrong. Says who? Nothing? You're just nothing. Telling nothing something is wrong? Nothing isn't something. It's nothing. Amen? It's all nonsense. It's circular reason. They've been bit by a snake. And they're poisoning themselves. Be ready to fight. Be ready to win. We have to see Jesus in the scriptures. This is 1 Peter 3 is telling us this. And then the second point. This is just, all is apologetics 101. You can't go beyond this unless you dig into a certain topic you want to deal with. And all of them always have Jesus. He's always the answer. Come on. You want to get athletics? I become all things to all men, but I might by all means save some. Got it. You want to talk, you want to talk, someone that's hungry? He's the bread of life. You want to talk to somebody that's thirsty at a well? He's the water of life. You want to talk about athletics? He's the crown. You want to talk politics? Okay, he's the king. How about religion? He's the great high priest. You go anywhere you want to go. It's always Jesus Christ. What's your trade? He's the carpenter. Amen. You're amazing. He's the stone. Amen. Where do you want to go? Anywhere you go, it's always him. And then you focus on a certain topic and you dig and try to find that answer. You want to deal with Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses? It's always Jesus Christ. He's our sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready to fight. Be ready to win. Jesus, see Jesus in the scriptures. But this is what people struggle with more. When you're questioned, when you're challenged, your faith, not in the scriptures. I got in the scriptures, study to show thyself approved unto God. When you're challenged with questions in suffering. Apologetics 101, not zero, one and only one. The context of 1 Peter chapter 3, suffering. Paul says it in Romans chapter 5. I'll bring you here. Because you know what he's doing? He's bringing you to God. Peter tells us that. And this is where you can struggle and stumble. Why is he letting me suffer? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to tell you two reasons. One is the possibility that you did something wrong. Cleanse thou me of secret faults. And the other is it wasn't because you did anything wrong, even though the possibility exists that you did. It was focused on you to pull you away from what God is pulling you to. You say, what's that? The privilege of getting closer to Christ. Now look what Paul says, and we'll go back to our text. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 3. See, verse 2. We stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Something's wrong if you ain't suffering any kind of persecution. Any kind of persecution where there's questions and challenges in your mind. Maybe not directed towards you. Maybe because of your kids directed towards you. Maybe a friend that's directed towards you. Maybe a job that's directed towards you. Maybe an unexpected debt that's corrected towards you. Maybe you have to do with a house that's breaking down that's affecting me. Maybe it's your stupid car. Can we give me an amen with that? It's breaking down again. Amen? It's like there's always something. In Romans 5, he says in verse 3, we glory in tribulations. And he goes through a list of things, and he says in verse 5, hope. And the hope make it not ashamed. Because what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's what he's bringing you to. I'm going to let you go through this. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to let you go through this. Look back at 1 Peter. The entire epistle of Peter is suffering. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. You got to be ready, man. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Peter, somebody's out for you. They want to sift you as wheat. You got to understand this. When the devil sifts us and tries us, he wants God to see all the garbage that's pulled out. That's what he wants you to see. Look, I see you sift something, you put all the thing, look at all this garbage. I said, what garbage? And God puts that aside. He says, look at the weed. Look at the purity that came through that sifting. That's what we need to see. We need to see Jesus in the scriptures when we get into apologetics. 101, not 0, only. We need to see Jesus in our sufferings. Well, brother, you're going to get tripped up. Maybe God don't love me no more. Amen. You're going to start doubting God, questioning God, thinking he's unfair. Look at it in 1 Peter. Whom I love, I chasten and rebuke. And this is wonderful to see and recognize. So 1 Peter 4:1, chapter 1, chapter 2, we're not going to go over them all, but look at chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath what? Can I push the pause button right now? Because I'm dealing with something. You can't help me. You've got to sanctify in your hearts the Lord God. That he, the person suffering, no longer should live the rest of his time in flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life, you're just living your life and doing this and doing this and planning this and planning this. And bang, something happens. And there's questions. What's the answer? Why are you going through what you're going through? Or, be ready. Be ready to give an answer. Why are you going to go through something that you haven't yet, but you're going to go through something? Be ready to give an answer. Because people are watching. How can you still say praise God when someone you love passes on? How can you still be happy when you lose your job, or you ran out of money, or you pulled your back out, amen, or you got another wrinkle, amen, a gray hair, oh my God, I'm still not married. How long, oh Lord? God knows, amen, sickness, health, jobs, death is knocking, wrongful accusation, a marital problem, a shattered dream, a hospital call, a police knocking on the door. Oh my God, please. I don't want to hear it, please. But you have to. It's apologetics. 101. Amen. We're more than conquerors. Be not afraid. Only one. Believe. That's all he's asking us to do. We've got to see Jesus in our suffering. How long is he going to take to answer prayers? He sees our suffering. We don't see what he sees. He sees the fire. Do we see the fourth man in the fire? Right? Do we? You know, we see the Red Sea. We see Pharaoh and his army. Do we see the wind that's blowing? Is it a part of the Red Sea? God says, raise your rod when I say so now. Glory to God. Behold now. We see it. We see a trumpet getting ready to blast. Amen. We see God getting ready to do what only God could do. He's our victory. Victory in Jesus. He's our victory, which only causes us to triumph in Christ. We already won. But it's not just the scriptures and finding the answer. It's the scriptures and by faith, trusting the answer will be because he loves us. He's actually going to pull us through and reveal something to us. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you, Lord. You know, you think Job thought for a minute that God would bring him in a unity by identification of the future cross with a sliver that was buried deep? God, that stupid sliver is like poking. It's coming. Got it. Glory to God. Buried in his heart was pride. Buried in his heart was pride. Amen. That's what he's showing. He's going to show you something. Yes, he is. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. Possibility. Lord, please, secret faults. I don't want them to become secret sins. Amen. I don't want them to become the great transgression. I don't want it to become a presumptuous sin where I impose upon you my will and fall prey to an imposter concept of love. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 6. Now, Paul's giving a list of things, the credentials of his authority, anointed by God. And he says in verse 4, in all things approving ourselves, the ministers of God, patience, afflictions. Look at the list of things. Stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, pureness by knowledge, long suffering, kindness, the Holy Ghost, love unfeigned by the word of truth. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live. Now look what he says, in the midst of all of this, look what he says as what? In the midst of all this suffering that he's going through, he was chastened. Right there, I'm going to pull it out, Paul, I'm going to pull it out. My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. There was something hidden in his heart that God pulled out. So when he's being questioned about his authority, and his own mind is saying, maybe they're right. Look at this in Psalm 69, same truth. Psalm 69. He was chastened. He wasn't doing anything wrong. There was something wrong in him that was keeping him from coming closer to God. You know, Lord, take this away. And he said, no, I can't take this away. Not in the way you want me to take it away. I'll take it away by allowing it to stay. So that your faith is totally dependent on my grace. Glory to God, brother. That's why the pain continues in Psalm chapter 69. David is praying this same thing, this same concept. And I love him for it. Psalm 69. Look at what he says in verse 17. Hide not thy face from thy servant. I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. And redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. He's talking about them. Verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them. He's asking God to, you know, hurt them, knock them down, beat them up, all that kind of stuff. And look, jump back to verse 5. Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. In the midst of being done wrong, he's aware of something that's wrong with him. And God's using this time of suffering, not that he caused it, but he's using it to allow it to bring him closer to God. That's what he's doing. In whom I love, I chasten and rebuke. This is just, to me, it's a wonderful truth. To get a hold of. You know, you get that, you know, people that think there's something when they're nothing. I mean, but your own prophets are telling you you're nothing. Search the scriptures. They'll tell you. I mean, nothing, man. You know, you're nothing. You know, they know it. Your own singers are telling you that. And then you get the same thing. Our own singers are telling you. God shows people before us. You know, the fire shall not hurt you. My only desire. What's he want to do? He wants us to be refined. Amen? He's burning the dross. He's surfacing something in our lives. Look back and we'll be closing. Be ready to fight and to win. Be ready to fight and to win. See, brethren, our wrestling isn't, it's not just the person we're talking to. That person we're talking to, they know because God already told them. God already told Pharaoh he's going down. God already told the Canaanites, you're done. He told Rahab, you better side with them. He told those women, don't abort those children, don't kill those children. He told them, he warned them. Over and over with the prophets, he told through Jeremiah, through Isaiah, God's going to bring judgment. And they misinterpreted the long-suffering of God, and they accepted an imposter. They accepted a lie. You end up running around in circles getting nowhere. If you don't understand, brethren, we're not just wrestling against flesh and blood. They got a species of ants called the army ants, Lepidus predatoriae. They're completely blind. They sniff their trail left by the ants in front of them. And if, you know, so there's this chemical trail left behind. They're always smelling it and following this line. But if one ant gets out of line of the line and goes in a loop in a circle, the other ants start doing it. And they just go around in circles. And they die of exhaustion. Amen? Stay on the straight and narrow. The straight and narrow is going to bring you right to where? To Calvary. You can follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. There's blood from Gethsemane all the way to Calvary. The judgment to Calvary, where they took him down and they wrapped him up all the way to the tomb. Follow the footsteps. Look at the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that stone is rolled away and he steps out, the blood's gone. Amen. Because he resurrected without sin. Amen. This is our Savior. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. He brings us through fiery trials. His design is to consume the dross and to refine the gold. This is what God is doing in our lives. I'm going to give you something and we'll close. Amen? Apologetics 101. No, not zero. 101. One, only one. See? He only is holy. Be ready to see Jesus in the scriptures. Okay, that's where we get. But be ready to see him in suffering. This is your heart. You go through something, you need to understand something. God hasn't stopped loving you. He's pulling you closer. There's a little boy that was born in San Antonio, Texas. And this is what Peter is saying when he talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 3. He's once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This is apologetics, one, only one. He's bringing you closer to God. But you better be careful. This is be a warning. The world is bombing us with all kinds of things trying to challenge our faith in the Word of God, all kinds of mistakes, all kinds of problems. Then you look at your life, and it's not going the way you think it should be going, because you live in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, which it is / was, ain't going to be for long if it keeps on the same path it is. Amen, Brother John. But it is / was. Ain't going to be for long. You look at that and you realize, well, I'm supposed to have this now and this now and this now. And that's all over, brother. Those days are all over. We're getting ready to get into a very dark time. Storm clouds are coming. You don't see it, that's your fault. Amen. He tells us ahead of time, we're watching it happen. Be careful, because if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Get close to me. Stay close to me. Your faith is going to be challenged. Amen. And he tells us this, he warns about this suffering. See Christ Jesus in your suffering. There's a little boy, 1981, born in San Antonio, Texas. Beautiful blonde hair, bright sparkling blue eyes. Just a feisty little kid, kind of independent. Nicholas was his name. 1994, he's 13 years old. Hey, Ma, I'm going to go play basketball down the road with my friend. Yeah, okay, whatever. Never returned. They don't know what happened to him. Tragedy, tears, suffering. 3 years later, phone call. I think it was Madrid, Spain. We found what we believe to be your son. Frederick is his new name. A runaway, picked up by police in a phone booth. He assumed the name and the identity of Nicholas. Just crying to be loved. The thing was, is he was an imposter. He fooled the police. He fooled the passport agency. His sister came down to him. Want to make sure it's him. He had to go through pictures and identify certain pictures. Before he identified the pictures, he talked with his sister, and she told him about certain things, pictures and things to look for. And guessing, got him right. Got 4 out of 5 questions right. He said, that's good enough for us. And his sister says, it better be, because he's my brother. Brought him home, hugged his mother, slept in his bed, ate the food, went to high school, because now he was 3 years older, drove the bus with his old friends. Nicholas, Nicholas! He had brown hair. Brown eyes. Talked with an accent. He was an imposter. But they so wanted him to be who they wanted him to be that they believed a lie. And they didn't understand the suffering of God wasn't bringing you back to Nicholas. It was bringing you back to God. I'm not judging them, God forbid. Lord knows. Amen. Suffering, apologetics, one, only one. No one loves you like Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you go through something, are going through something, you're going to be going through something, you better remember apologetics, one, only one. See Christ, not just in the scriptures, but in suffering. Because if you don't, you're going to believe a lie. You put something that you love above Jesus Christ, and God says, okay, I'll show you. Peter, you denied me. Now go tell others how much I love you. Feed them with the love that I gave to you. That's what I hope this lesson will do with you. When you question, when you're challenged, if there's answers in any field, just never forget that baseline, point that you have to remember. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen? And then take the scriptures and build upon that the period in your life when you're going to be questioned, real questioned in your mind and in your heart. Amen? When it comes to suffering. Lord, I pray that we can take this and remember this. It's down the road. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm just saying what I know to be so. At some point in time, things that aren't good from our perspective are going to happen in all our lives. But we must remember all things work together for good from your perspective. Help us to remember when that time comes, this, the defense of our faith, contending with the one and only truth that you alone are God and you alone are good. And you're not letting anything that would ever happen to us that isn't better for us and to your highest glory. May we remember this as the answer, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Till you return, I pray that we would share this faith with others that won't understand, but may they see that sparkling in the eye in our hearts, even when teardrops are dropping. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen, brother.